One thing you need to know about is God. Don't you agree with that? I mean, this is church, and that's what we're here for, is to learn about God and help one another find and know about God. And tell you what, that's what you need. How much you know about God? It's amazing to me the lack of the knowledge of God that everybody has, how they don't know Him. God is a mystery. Or else they just totally reject Him, you know. I see people mocking and saying, talking about your sky god and all this. Fools. Fools. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I mean, I can't imagine the blindness and the ignorance and the darkness in somebody's soul that they have reached the point where they really don't believe there's any God at all. That this is it. I can't imagine that. Blindness and so we need to know God. We need to have the knowledge of God. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, just the knowledge of God. To know His attributes, to know what He's like. You need to know what God is like. You need to know Him so that you can make a good judgment about what His will for your action is going to be. How He feels about your thoughts, your attitudes, your opinions. If you know God, it'll affect what you believe about yourself and about everything else. Because God is God. That's the ultimate. As a Christian, we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and sanctification is really being brought to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Then we might know the height and the depth and the width and the length of the knowledge of God. See, that's the deal. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Let's read this. It says right there, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Then in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Do you get around somebody else and you get to know them better and better the longer you're around them. I mean, that's kind of how that works, ain't it? If you're around somebody, you spend time with somebody, you get to know them more and more and more. Some people you can get to know pretty quick. Some people it takes a long time to really get to know them. But you always keep finding out something else about them. Don't you like to meet somebody that's just, there's just always something else that surprises you about them? Good, I'm talking about. Because God's good. That's one of the things we're going to talk about. One of the attributes of God is He is good. So the more you know about Him, the more blessed it is. Because the more you find out about God, everything about it is good. Everything about Him is good. So everything you learn about God is going to be good. So it's a good thing to know God. All right, that we have a true and thorough knowledge of God is one of God's greatest desires. That's what He wants. He wants us to know Him. He wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants to manifest Himself to you. Make Himself known. He wants to let you see what He's like. He wants you to know what His heart's like, what His mind is like, as much as we can through the veil here. In this dark world, looking through a glass, not knowing everything, but just in part, God wants us to know all we can stand to know about Him. Now, He really does. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, for I desired mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Now, you understand who's talking there. That ain't a prophet. That's God talking. God says, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice. I'd rather you'd be merciful than to do your dirty deeds and then come up and give me a sacrifice. It's not the idea. And that's in Leviticus. We're talking about that on Wednesday nights now for a while. But the sacrifices and the motive and the attitudes and what God was trying to get them to understand as they did it. First, a willing heart. For I desired mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God. God desires that you have, and I have, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. The sacrifices and offerings, God desires something more than that. He desires that you know Him and know about Him. And know it assuredly. Know it as a fact. Not just form opinions and imagine ideas in your mind of what you think God's like. Well, that's idolatry.
Yes, sir.
To just have an opinion and a feeling about what you think God's like or what you want Him to be like. But you read the Word of God and God reveals Himself to you. Just like the little verse that I just read out of Hosea. That reveals something about God to you. Something deep and something real right there. It's God Himself talking to you still and to me. And you can see what He's like. All these sacrifices and stuff that He ordained, that He ordered, that He arranged and gave as the law to do. He said, I didn't want that. You did that for me, but that's not what I want from you. What I want is for you to know me. That's what the sacrifice and offering was all about. So you can know God, know the mind of God, know His attitude toward sin, know His attitude toward forgiveness, His desire to forgive. And all that. The lack of true knowledge of God is one of the basic reasons for the judgment of God upon a people. That's why God has judged the nation of Israel so often and others because of their lack of knowledge of God. Now that means we're in trouble in 2019 because so few have any knowledge of God. Gary's talking about Joyce Meyer's preaching. Oh my goodness. I should have stayed away from that. Lord help me, because oh my. It just, oh my. Preaching on following after holiness. And her ideas was, she said, I'm right on the verge. She said, I'm right on the verge of going and getting a tattoo. And just to make the religious people mad. I mean, her whole thing that I saw was just a whole chain of blasphemous mocking at people who had any kind of standard. She quoted scriptures showing and tried to prove that God tattooed people and God put nose rings in people and God put earrings in people and all of that. She mentioned all of that, you know, and mocked it. Preaching on following after holiness. And besides that, a woman up there preaching with her cigarette voice. See, now where am I at? Where am I at here? The lack of knowledge of God. Now I'm going to tell you right now, that woman does not know one thing about God. She's an idolater. And she is a minion of Satan. Put her down. Say, you ain't got no right to say that. Well, I done said it. And ain't nothing you can do about it. And you can just wait until we stand before God and see,
yes,
if I ain't telling you the truth.
Yes,
her even being there shows that she has no knowledge or no respect or regard for the Word of God, because God forbids that in this book right here.
Yes,
so you're going to do what you want to do and make up your own God. Nope, nope, nope. What she needs is some knowledge of God Almighty. Not this Baal God that she worships.
Yep.
That's right.
And teaches other people to worship. Boy, they loved it. They's eating it up. Despisers of them that are good. That's what the Bible said was coming. That's what she is. Her and the whole bunch of them. They're all that way. The second, third generation of independent Baptists are just like her. They despise holiness and righteousness. They despise them that believe in it still. The only thing they love is people that, you know, they don't love nobody but themselves, really. It's good to make money with. You can feed the masses. Who was that this morning? Said something about the church, broken churches. They're there for all the broken churches. One of you guys. Is that you in Sunday school, Gary? Yeah, that's what they're feeding on. They're gathering in the rebels and the rejects from wherever, where somebody's been preaching to them. Wonder if any of you will end up there. Because you can't stand this straightforward, like it is, preaching out of the Word of God. It's not my opinions. I'm telling you just how it is. And let me tell you something. It ain't been what was, I see them saying what was sin 100 years ago is still sin today. Don't you believe that? Well, absolutely. Then how in the world do we turn everything upside down and right's right, wrong, and wrong's right, and good's evil, and evil's good? You ought to think sometime about some of those grandpas or great-grandmas and mothers that would come in and see this junk now. How offensive it would be to them. The music, the attitude, this what they call preaching. They would abhor it. It'd be so offensive to them. Yes. Knowledge of God, lack of true knowledge of God brings judgment upon people. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. All right, why has God got a controversy with the inhabitants of the land? They don't know nothing about God. And so therefore they have no mercy. And there's no truth. And that's where we're at. No mercy. Do you see that in the politics? Do you see that in the news? No truth. You see that in the politics? You see that in the news? You see that in the churches? You hear that from people? All that, no truth, no mercy, no forgiveness, no compassion. That's because there's no knowledge of God in the land. And you better believe that that same God is the same God that sits on the throne now. And I guarantee you that same God has a controversy with inhabitants of this land right now. Yes, sir. They didn't win. They didn't vote God out back then. No, God put them out. He scattered them to the wind. Yeah, and left them in ashes. Now you think we're going to get away with it this time? I don't think so. No knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is the means of multiplying grace and peace to ourselves. The more you learn about God, the more grace and the more peace you have. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. That's Peter's salutation there in 2 Peter chapter 1. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So the more true knowledge we have about God, the more grace and peace we will experience. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. God the Father said it. Jesus said it. The more you learn about him, the better your life's going to be. The more grace, the more peace comes in exact proportion to how much you know, really know about God. Now you want to learn about God? You want to improve your life? You tired of being sad? You tired of being depressed? You tired of being mad? Learn more about God. Draw nigh to God and learn more about him, and I guarantee he'll draw nigh to you. Grace and mercy and peace will be multiplied. It's the promise of God. There it is. I've read it to you twice. So just go home, throw your Bible somewhere. Don't touch it again till next time you have to come to church. Don't even think about God. Just think about your work. Think about your problems. Think about somebody else. For the next 2, 3, 7 days, whatever, before you come back here again. And you're forced to hear about God a little bit. And you know what your life's gonna be like? Trouble! Trouble! Your soul's going to be troubled. You ain't going to have no peace. You're going to be angry, depressed, defeated, hopeless, despairing. Trouble everywhere. And not knowing what to do about it. It's because of the lack of the knowledge of God. Now you know more about God, you're gonna have more peace in your life. I don't care if the ship is about to sink, you'll be in peace.
That's right.
Because you know God. You know Him. And you know what He thinks and what He's like and what He does in situations. So I'm just telling you, it's your deal. If you want to live like that, you just have at it. But I done made up my mind, I don't want to live like that. The more I want to know more about Jesus, would I know? More. Yeah. We'll have no real knowledge of God without seeking for it ourselves. Proverbs 2, chapter 1, verse 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. If you'll do this. If you'll just do this. If you'll do this, there's some good things I can promise you. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. You're seeking it. You're digging for it. You're looking for it. You're striving to find it like it's treasure, like it's valuable. You ain't just laying around like a sloth waiting on somebody to come along and cram it in your mouth. You're looking for it, searching for it. You want it. If you'll do that, then searching for it as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. And you know what the next words are? And find the knowledge of God. You ain't going to find the knowledge of God just sluggardly, slothfully, lazy, no ambition, no desire for it. You ain't going to find it. All you're going to find is trouble. The wicked are like the troubled sea. That cannot be at rest. That's because there's no knowledge of God. They don't know enough about God to do anything. To even answer any questions. To even tell anybody anything. You ought to be ashamed. If you can't tell your children and your grandchildren something about God. That's right. That's true. What have you done with your life if you spent your life and you don't know nothing about God? And then expect to be welcomed into heaven and rewarded for eternity and praised and said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you didn't even find the knowledge of God. He was still a mystery to you. He was like a stranger. He was like just a thought of somebody, a celebrity or something. Or a superhero. But he wasn't a person, a knowledge. You'd have no knowledge of his person. We got to draw nigh to God if we want to know Him. And we got to search the Scriptures because they're the only means we have of knowing the truth about God. Ain't no man going to tell us about God that we can run. I can tell you about Him, but if I don't point you to here and you don't get it from here, then it ain't going to count. All you got is what Brother Mike said, that this is what God's like. No, it ain't good enough. You need to know the Bible says this is what God is like. The Bible says this about God. God said this in the Bible. So I know. Instead of, well, that's what our preacher thinks, and that's what our preacher said, and our church believes this, and, you know, I've heard others say that God, you don't know nothing about God if that's all you got. You need to be anchored. You need to be on the rock. You need to be able to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the hope that lieth in you. That's God, the knowledge of God. You need to be able to tell people what God's like. They need to know because they don't know. They talk about Him like He's just another old some dude. He's a cool dude. I've heard them say that. Jesus, a cool dude. That's no knowledge of God. If you had kindergarten knowledge of God, you would never address the Lord Jesus Christ in such irreverent, profane terms. We got to search the Scriptures, and we got to get our knowledge of God firsthand. Others may inspire us, and they do, or encourage us. And they do. That's what we're here for. I'm here to encourage you to look in your Bible, read and study. Get an interest. Nurture an interest. Stir up in yourself an interest to know about God. What do you want to know about Him? Do you have anything that you want to know about God? Search the Scriptures. That's what I'm doing. I'm encouraging you to do that. Others have encouraged me to do that. And I did it. I did it because they encouraged me to. And guess what? I found out some things. And I found out some things that have helped me forevermore. And will always help me all through eternity. And so that's the deal. We can get encouraged from other people. But we got to get our knowledge of God straight from the source. And if we all get it from the same source, we'll all have the same knowledge of God. Others inspire us, but we got to, if we're ever going to know God, truly know God, but we're going to have to, we can't be going on what we hear from other people. And we must not use ourselves and our ways or our understanding of things, our feelings and all of that stuff as some kind of measure to discern what God is like. Now see, we can't measure God by ourselves. We can't know God by knowing ourselves. And a lot of people do that. They impute to God the same kind of feelings, the same kind of views of things as we do. We think, well, we get mad. God gets mad. I mean, boy, I can understand God getting mad because I get mad. No, wait a minute. You need to judge yourself by what the Bible says about God. Don't be transforming or manipulating or messing with God and what He really is by your feelings. Comparing Him to you or to somebody else and now you understand Him better because you understand Him better. No, no. You're going to understand other people better. The more you know about God, the more you'll understand about why people are like they are and how messed up they are and how far they are off of the mark, including yourself. But you ain't going to determine what God is like or begin to understand what God is like by understanding what we're like because we are messed up. I don't care the most holy that I've ever known, the most sanctified that I've ever known, the most sincere, the most clean living, the most pure of heart that I've ever known in this life or that anybody has ever known is still tainted and polluted and defiled with this world that we live in. And we're blinded. We can't see clearly because of all the mud in the water. We can't use ourselves. We can't bring God down to our level. But we gotta look to rise to Him. Our Father who art in heaven. Look up. That's what we need to be doing instead of looking down. The evolutionists say to the rock and the frogs and all of, and the fish, you know, they call that their father. They gotta look down to do that. You gotta look up. We look up. We got to always remember who He is and who we are. Well, we talked about this morning, our life's a vapor. It's just a puff. A blink. Not even a blink on the radar of time. We don't last no time here. Our life is nothing. It's like a post. It passes real fast. Real fast life passes. And then it's over. And so what in the world are we? We're talking about an eternal God who's always been and always will be. Our mind can't even comprehend that. We got to just leave it right there because we can't analyze that and say, well, now look, God had to have a beginning. Well, when you find that, if you think you can find that, then what are you going to do? See, we're not wired up to comprehend beyond where we're at right now. I mean, as far as time and space, we're confined. And our mind will not operate outside of that. So we just have to, the best terms we've got is eternity. And God, He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. In the beginning, God. And that's all, I mean, that's the best and the only explanation you're ever going to get. as long as you're living in this world. So there you go. You accept it or reject it at your own risk. God is real. God's almighty. And you need to know him. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 9. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we can't know God by knowing our puny thoughts, the best that we got, the highest that man has ever been able to attain in his thinking and reasoning and knowledge of things. No comparison. God said, "My ways and my thoughts are so far above your thoughts as the heavens are above the earth." So don't try to impute to God some kind of nature of a sinful man. Knowing God is a lifelong adventure. It's not a short crash course. You don't get saved and in a few months you know all about God. Baloney. You don't get saved and know all about God in a few years, even in a lot of years. The more you learn about God, the bigger he gets. The more you learn about God, the more you realize that you don't know that there is yet to know about God. It's inexhaustible. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So you better get started. You got a big job. You got a lot to learn and very little time to learn it in. So you better get to it. Better step up. Better hop to. Get busy on this. This is the business of life. This is what's more important than sacrifices and offerings and everything else. Know God. Know him. Know his person, his character, his heart, his mind. Amen. Know his judgments. Yeah. Know all this. You're never going to learn it all. Not in this lifetime. If you studied every day and night and never even slept. I mean, if you had used every minute you got to live trying to find out more about God, you'd never find out at all about him. It's kind of good that way because we got eternity to do that too. It's what we're going to be doing in eternity. Do you understand that? We're going to be knowing God. Through the eternal ages, we're going to be always finding out more about God. Yeah, that's just another thing you can't even comprehend. It's not a crash course. It's a lifelong adventure, really. We can have as little or as much of the knowledge of God as we want. It's inexhaustible. I think it's real pitiful when somebody lives their life and ends up dying without knowing anything about God. I think that's a tragedy of tragedies. I think it's sad and terrible when a person gets up in age and they don't know anything about God. I think that's a disaster. I think it's even more of a disaster when they've purposely done it. When they've absolutely rejected God out of their life. Well, they're the kind of people that when you say something about church or God, they say, "I don't want to hear that stuff." You don't want any knowledge of God? I mean, the most important thing that you are to obtain in this life, and you don't want it? Then tell me there's no hell. There's a hell. That's who it's for. That's right. We can live in the shallows and barely get our feet wet. Or we can sail out into the depths where there's very few other people go. It's your choice. You can know what you want to know about God. You can know a lot. You can know a little. You can know nothing. But you need to realize what the consequences of that are going to be for you. Shut off your mind. Shut your ears. Don't want to hear it. Fill your mind with the garbage and the sewer of this world. You're going to pay a dear, dear price. You better be finding out about God. You sure better. I don't care how little you are, how old you are. You better be about this. Better be at it. Better get busy. Study your Bible. Amen. Seek to know what God's like. Yep. It'll make it a whole lot easier for you to deal with life. Make it a whole lot easier for you to make your decisions about life. If you just know God. Yeah. It's kind of like knowing the truth and the truth making you free. That's kind of the same thing here. Not just knowing the truth about the gospel and the plan of salvation, but knowing God Himself. That's what we're talking about here tonight. The more you know God Himself, the better you're going to understand what salvation and redemption and all this is all about. The more you know about God, the clearer it's going to become to your soul why sin is so bad. And why there is a hell where people are going to go who die without God. And how that it's just and right for it to be so. The more you know about God and the more you know Him, the easier it's going to be for you to understand that. Now you don't know much about Him. You don't know anything about Him. You know very little about Him. And you're going to think, that ain't fair, man. That's just too much. That's over the top. Sending people to hell just because they didn't join the church and pray and all that. No, you're way off the mark. You know God, sin will be exceeding sinful to you. The more you know God, the more abominable it becomes. And that's why that some people are so abhorrent about it, about sinning and to others, you know, maybe you don't think it's quite so bad. You just don't see nothing. I don't see what's so bad about. You won't be saying such nonsense when you just get to know a little bit about God. Knowing God will make us more like Him. And the more we know about God, the more we will abandon our own views and our opinions and our ways and our general character. The more we know about Him, the more we'll abandon all of our that stuff for His. Less of me, more of Him. I must decrease, He must increase. That's the way it'll be. The more you know about Him, the more you want to be like Him. Because He's good. Everything about Him is good and wonderful. I mean, He's the... I'm glad He's the Lord God of the universe and not Satan. I'm glad the God who created everything is benevolent and kind and loving and good. And the more you know about Him, the more you'll love Him and want to be like Him. The more you know about Him, the more you'll be like Him. Now, it's an obvious fact here that from looking at each other, we know how we are. We know how we are because how we interact with one another. Now, if we're around one another, we pick up from other people around us good and bad traits, real quick and real early, real fast. Did y'all ever notice that about your kids? They go somewhere and get around some other kids and they'll come back with their mannerisms, their slang words, their everything. I mean, just right now, they'll pick it up right now. You let somebody get around and listen to some worldly garbage philosophies out of somebody and boy, they'll just latch right on to it. So we're easily influenced by the people that are around us. If we would just get around God, do you reckon we might pick up some things from Him? If we really did, fellowship with God. If we sought to know Him, sought to spend time with Him, to be in His presence, you reckon some of Him might rub off on us? Absolutely. You better believe it. We'd be transformed into His image by being around Him. Yes, sir. The more we're around someone, the more we're influenced by them. That's why it's so easy to tell when people in church just keep getting more worldly and worldly and they won't come along. They don't ever grow. They won't ever start throwing the trash out of their life and living more holy. I know who they're keeping company with. And I know who they're not keeping company with. God. They're not spending no time with God, not spending no time searching for God. God's not a factor in their life. They're worldly, carnal. Their mind and everything's after this world. You get somebody, you watch somebody, and when they start spending some time around God outside of church, boy, you'll start seeing some changes in their life, in their attitude, and all about them. You'll start seeing some changes. That's how you can tell. Yes, sir. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, like looking in a mirror, see, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, isn't that what I just said to you? I just said that to you and explained that to you. That's how it works. Did you get it? But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. We're beholding the glory of the Lord. Like we're looking in a mirror and we're beholding the glory of the Lord. And what happens? We're changed. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Little by little. Step by step. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Every bit of knowledge we get of the Lord as we look at Him and gaze upon Him, we're changed into His image. You know, they even say, and I've looked at a lot of pictures, and I got to say, you know, there's got to be some truth in this. They say the longer a man and woman lives together, the more they look like one another. You ever seen any pictures like that? Mm-hmm. There's something to that. There's something to that. And well, there it is in the Bible. There's your absolute certainty. You look at God. You keep your eyes. I mean, what does it say? Cast your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Well, everything kind of just fades out. All this bad influence, all this worldly stuff. I mean, you just get caught up in the glory of God. You spend a little time with Him, that's what's going to happen to you. You ain't going to want to come away from it. You ain't going to want to wander off. We've been reading Tozer's book, and it's bothering me because some of the things he's saying is just, I have a hard time. I can't swallow that. I just don't, you know, he's been talking about backsliding. There ain't no backsliding in the New Testament. It ain't in there. Ain't in there. And I don't know how you can get cold and get away and wander away and just lose all interest and just turn away from God. I just don't see how you can do that. I mean, I can quote you a bunch of scriptures here about if you've tasted of the heavenly gift and the powers of the world to come and all this, and then you turn away. Well, anybody know what the New Testament says about that? Oh, my. I just believe this, and I know it from experience. Once you get a little taste of it, there ain't nothing else going to satisfy you. You know, video games and pinball machines and beer and whiskey and junk of this world don't hold no appeal to you. Not after you've tasted of something way, way better. The goal of our life should be to be made more and more like God. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. We just read there, but we all with open face, as in a glass, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. You see how he's saying the same thing? As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. It's the will of God. He foreordained it from the foundation of the world. Before there was ever anybody, God foreordained that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the goal. That's what the whole deal's about. It's not just get you a free ticket out of hell. He didn't just bail you out of jail. He saved you for you to be like Him. So that you would be conformed to the image of His Son. Transformed. New creature. Old thing passed away. Reborn. Born again. Old man dead. New man risen. A new creature in Christ. That's the way it is. Now, that's the gospel. That's the truth of the Word of God. That's the mind of God about this whole deal. Humanity from the beginning 6,000 years ago to the end of this thing. That's what God is about in His working with mankind. Not just to get you out of hell. I heard somebody sang it today, you know, that's what it was about. As Jesus came to, so we wouldn't have to go to hell. No, sir, that ain't it. He didn't just deliver us from hell and leave us in our sin. He delivered us from our sin. It never says He came to deliver us from hell. Never says that He came to give us a home in heaven when we die. The Bible don't say that stuff. Now, that's part of it, but that ain't what He came for. He came to save us from our sins. He atoned for our sins, and He gave, and to as many as believed, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. A son. You get that?
Yes.
Son's going to be like his father. Now that's just, you know, you're going to find that to be true even in fallen man more than not.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And I tell you, a son of God's going to be like his father. Yes, he is. That's what's going to happen. As he, if he's really born into God's family, he's going to start seeking to know his Father. And the more he knows Him, the more like Him he's going to become. He's going to be changed from glory to glory into that same image. Wow. That's just about more than we can believe, ain't it? Us. He's going to change us to be like Him. Exactly. You got it. That's exactly what He said. Our bodies are going to be transformed in to be like unto His glorious body. Going to get a new body. Like old Brother Earl sang it so many times. I'm going to get a new body someday. A glorified body that'll never decay. Like His body. Walk through walls. Do all kinds of things. Different kind of body. A celestial. Alright, well, Romans, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Alright, there you go, right there. See that little thing right there? When we see Him as He is, we're going to be like Him. We're going to be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Changed what? Changed into that same image. When we see Him like He is. We ought to be striving to do that all the way through this journey. I mean, every day you live, you ought to be trying to learn more and know Him better and be ready to meet Him. You need to know. Would you recognize Him? You think you would recognize Him? I mean, if He just spoke to you, would you recognize His voice? He said, "My sheep know My voice." You think you'd recognize Him? Just by the tone of His voice, just by the way He says something. Like we recognize one another's voices. I've told you before, but I was down in the bank here. It's been several years ago now. There's a woman standing in the teller window next to me. I didn't pay no attention because I didn't know her. I mean, she's a stranger to me until I heard her say something. And when she spoke, I knew her voice. I'd went to school with her from the first grade all the way through. I knew her voice. Didn't recognize her face. Changed too much. But I knew her voice. I knew immediately who she was. When I turned and looked, there it was. I could see after I heard her voice. When He says, "Come up hither," you think you're going to know? Yeah, yeah. Well, you better get to studying. Better get to digging. You better get to, you know, if it was somebody, you'd be wanting to see all the pictures you could see of them. You'd be wanting to hear everything they said or could say. You'd be wanting to hear from them. tell you things about them. If it was somebody you were anticipating meeting like that, and this is much bigger than just somebody else. This is God. So, if we're going to become like Him, we got to spend time in His presence. If we're going to become more like Him, we got to know more about Him. If we're going to know more about Him, we got to study His Word and pay attention to His working in our life. Again, connecting it with what we talked about this morning. You got to recognize His hand in your life. Always recognize. Learn, study, be alert and attentive about the things in your life, the people that enter your life. Sometimes God will put somebody across your path and you don't think much of it, but it was a major thing in your life. They become a major thing in your life. You need to be paying attention. I know down the road, looking back, it's a lot easier to say, boy, I see God did that. I see God's hand right there. Learn to recognize it sooner than that. Don't you think we'd be better off if we'd learn to recognize this is the hand of God? Pharaoh's magicians said that. They said, this is the finger of God. I think God's people ought to be quicker to recognize God's working in their life than a bunch of heathen magicians and sorcerers in Egypt. You don't think God's working in your life? What's He going to do next? Huh? Be watching diligently. Give God the glory where it belongs. No amount of studying will help an unconverted person to know God because he's dead in sins and cannot understand the things of God. Now, he can learn a lot of facts about God, but he can't know God. He can't know God anymore, and you can know these politicians and these other people that the news people tell y'all about. There's so much misinformation and lies and hatred that you can't hardly tell nothing about these people that we see in the news all the time and we hear about in the politics and all of that. You know, half the country hates the president with a murderous hatred, and they don't even know him. None of us know him. All we know is what we've heard him say and what we've heard other people say about him. That's all we know. We don't know him. It better not be that way with God. Better not just listen to the roar of the people, the roar of the crowd, the voices of people who hate him. Better not. Better find out for yourself. And he made sure, because this is right here. This is the book. That's why we have this book. So we can know God. And we don't have to take the opinions of other people. We don't have to listen to his enemies. We can read what he says. Oh, God says plenty out of his own mouth. Straight up. The words of God speaking right here. I read you some while ago out of Hosea. It's God speaking. Hosea was saying, thus saith the Lord, and then let the Lord speak. Hosea would say, let me introduce you to the Lord God. He's got something to say. All right, Lord, and then he'd say it. It's God speaking. Don't tell me man wrote that. God said that. I'm about done. Hang on. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, when a heart is surrendered to God, realizing its sinful state and trusting in the atonement that Christ made for the sin of man, he's indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, real simply put, when you get saved, the Spirit of God moves into you. He takes up his abode. Your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. He comes into you and lives in you. Now, think about that. That makes a whole world of difference. That turns the lights on in here. Jesus said when he comes, he'll speak of me. The Holy Spirit, what does he do? How does he operate? What's his function here? If he lives in us, what does he do? Well, he guides us to all truth. He comforts us. He leads us to Christ. He shows us Christ in everything we read. He makes the Bible understandable for us. I used to read this book and it was just dark nonsense to me. I couldn't make no sense of it at all. Y'all, any of y'all ever remember that? Oh, it's not that way now. No, not at all. It's wonderful. We're preaching out of Leviticus on Wednesday night now. Leviticus. I was kind of joking the other night about it, how exciting it was and all that. It's not. It is. To me it is. Maybe bore you plumb to death. But it don't bore me. Man, I can just see all kinds of things in there. It's just like finding a box of treasure again and again and again. So much you just don't know what to do first. What I do first? What am I going to leave out here? What am I going to call now as we go through this? That's what it's like now. That's what it's like. It ain't like, man, I don't know what in the world I'm going to preach on that. How in the world can you come up with a message out of that? That's just, what in the world? Never. Never. So there's a difference, see? There's a big difference. Not a natural man. He can't do that. It's just blank. It's like looking at a blank sheet of paper. Nothing there for him. When the heart's surrendered to God. All right, now the Holy Spirit makes it possible for that person to understand and know God from that point on. So the first step in knowing God is salvation. By repentance from your sins and faith in Christ. You got to be surrendered to God's will in order to understand anything about God. Right. Hear me. That's the last thing I'm going to say. I'm going to read you one verse and then we're going to be done. But you got to be surrendered to God. You got to be surrendered. Yielded to God. In order to understand anything about God. He's not going to reveal himself to you while you got your sword drawn. While you're still running. While you're still resisting him. He's not going to reveal anything to you. He's going to be fearful to you. You're going to feel as if he's your enemy. And he is. Until you yield. Jesus said in John 7 verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. How are you going to know if things are true about God? By being yielded to him. It's really just like that. You can't get the water to come out of a hose if it's kinked. Did you ever notice that? It's got to be unkinked. And then the water just flows. No problem. And that's the way it is with this. You not yielded, there's a kink. You ain't going to find nothing. You ain't going to get no water. You ain't going to get no knowledge. You just ain't going to understand until you yield. So people would say, well, now I've got some questions. I've got some questions for you. I've got some things. It's just, I got some problems with this stuff and I need some answers. No, first thing we need from you in order to get you some answers is for you to yield yourself to God and quit resisting and fighting him. As soon as you do that, I promise you'll understand. You'll start understanding. Until then, there ain't no way I can explain or give you any kind of answer that's going to satisfy your rebellious heart. It's that poem John Newton wrote about a rebel's surrender to grace. Said, God could have thundered and struck me with all the power in the universe and I'd have stood strong against him. But love caused his heart to yield. That's a good poem. Should have put that to music. And that's the way it is too. You got to yield to God and then you'll start understanding. And it's a wonderful life to know God. Ain't never been nothing like it in the world. I watch these people and I feel real bad for them, and at the same time there's an anger in me about their false religions. You think about the Buddhists and the Muslims and all the rest of them, and I think about Baptists too, because there's a lot of them ain't they're just exactly the same. They just manifested in a little different language or something, but it's the same spirit of rebellion, same spirit of hatred, same spirit of self-righteousness and selfishness and hatred. You get to know God. Born again, yield your life to God, you get to, the gate will be opened and you can enter in. And there's green pastures there. And you can feed richly. How are you going to grow in grace and peace? How are you going to increase in grace and peace? Knowledge of God. So that's what we're going to talk about for a little while here. A few weeks, we're going to talk about God and the attributes of God, so that you can learn a little bit more about Him. But in the meantime, take your Bible at home and search. You got all of you's got these phones. Easy. You can get a Bible app on there. You can search, and it's an aid. Get your Bible and read it. And if you want to look up something, search it. Just tick, 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 and there it is. So much easier than I used to have it with concordances and books and tick, 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 get a magnifying glass out and look at it. And then write it down on a piece of paper and then try to remember where you put the paper and keep all that organized. Now you got it so much better now. There's no excuse for you to not know about God from the Word of God. Amen. Stand with me. We'll be done. Never give you any better advice. Never give you any better admonition that's going to help you more for this life and for eternity than what we've talked about tonight. You need to know about God. You need to know Him. You just need to know what He's like. And you ain't got long to find it out. So work at it. Work at it. Work at it like tomorrow's the end of it. And you got till midnight and that's it. I mean, get to searching for God. All right, Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the message tonight. For me, it's been a help to me. Pray you would encourage our hearts to seek your face. That's one of the requisites for revival and blessing and restoration, is if my people, which are called by my name, will seek my face, will pray, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Lord, I pray you'd help us as your people to seek your face, to seek to know you, to seek to have your mind and your heart, and to have the knowledge of God that helps us, guides us, and governs our lives and our tongues and our minds in this evil, dark world that we live in. Lord, we need you. Pray you'd help us in this. In Jesus' name, amen.